Yes. We're going to wrap up this series on gens with Farah Yuduzu. Farah is a special correspondent for us. She's a native of Turkey. She now lives in New Jersey, in the New York City area. And she does a lot of work for us. Interestingly enough, she has written a book that contains a lot of information about gens, the Turkish version of gens. Now, it's not available in this country, so I haven't read it. But I asked Farah if she would come on and talk to us a little bit about the Turkish and Mid-Eastern versions of these creatures, jinns, and other creatures of other realities. Farah, welcome to the show. It's always good to have you on. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Farah, I asked you to come on the show today because I wanted to talk about jinns. Your new book that you've written that's being published in Turkey just came out a couple of weeks ago about jinns. I understand a good part of that book is about jinns.
Is that right?
In fact, that book is not particularly all about the jinns. It is about the recent and ancient UFO cases in Turkey and all over the world. But I also talk about jinns. So jinns is only a part of the
book. In that book, UFO Forbidden Zones, you talk about quite a few things. Evidently, Turkey has been a big hot spot not only for UFO activity, but all kinds of supernatural and high strangeness.
But according to my belief, UFO secrecy didn't start after Second World War, didn't start after Roswell case. These cases were always secret since the beginning of the first extraterrestrial visitations. The cover-up didn't start after Roswell case because the first extraterrestrial visitors who came to the world, in fact, who came to Turkish land thousands of years ago, they never explained, they never revealed their real identity. They used the fake identity of gods, sky gods or underground gods, so they came with their own cover-up.
These underground cities, Farah, they're all over Turkey, is that correct?
It is an amazing web. It is an amazing underground world. The total number of the underground cities in Turkey are about 100, but the most famous ones are located in the central part of Turkey, which is Cappadocia area, has been always a very busy UFO sighting and landing place. The other thing is that underground cities are dated to 6,000 years ago. Nobody knows who built them. Archaeologists and experts cannot understand who built them, and they have 27 floors under the ground, and they are a huge web of chambers, rooms, houses. All of them are linked to each other, and the most ancient civilization in Turkey always believes that it goes back to 6,000 years ago, but there are new excavations, there are new findings now, and the experts and archaeologists say that it goes back to 12,000 years ago.
Wow.
So they found, in the eastern part of Turkey, they found the first temple was ever made, and it goes back to 12,000 years ago. So it is much older than Stonehenge.
Farah, that's very fascinating stuff about the subterranean cities, over 100 of them. Wow. Let's get back to the subject of jinns. They seem to be everywhere. Do you know much about jinns? I mean, what can you tell us?
Okay. Jinns, in fact, exist. In the mythologies or in the religious beliefs of many different cultures. But in Turkey, we have a very strong belief in jinns. The reason is that, first of all, our religion, Islam, and our holy book, Quran, accepts the existence of jinns, not only accepts, Quran talks about jinns. And according to our religious sources, jinns were created by the same God who created humans, animals, plants, galaxies, universes, planets. But they were created before the human race was created. And as we know, human race, human being, was created from the soil, from the earth. But jinns are coming from a different source. They were created by an energy. Quran says they were created from the fire without smoke.
So even though you have been dealing with ancient jinns and their tales, jinns are still around today? Is that what you're saying, in a different reality or something?
First of all, they don't have physical bodies just like we have. And they belong to another dimension. But they can spend some time in our physical dimension temporarily. And when they want, they can shapeshift. They can have a temporary body. They can have the body of a human or an animal, and they have ability to shapeshift their bodies, their physical bodies.
So these beings are shapeshifters.
And yes, they can appear and they can disappear. And as they don't have a physical body, they need to have a physical container in order to be active in this physical dimension. So this looks like very much to some extraterrestrial descriptions. As we know, some of the contactees, experiencers, really say that, they believe that. Some group of ETs are shapeshifters, but they belong to other dimensions. They don't belong to our dimension. As they belong to other dimensions, they can temporarily shapeshift, they can temporarily have a body in our dimension.
Feeling, or do you think that jinns are interdimensional or extraterrestrial or what?
Well, of course, it is very difficult to give one clear answer to this question. I wish I would know, but I don't know. But I'm just trying to ask many questions, the answers. So it is impossible to say that jinns and extraterrestrials are the same beings or from the same source. But when we make a comparison, they have a lot common. At least we can believe that for jinns, they are interdimensional beings. I really don't think that they are coming from a physical planet. But again, not all the extraterrestrials are coming from a physical planet. Some of the extraterrestrials are coming from dimensions, from parallel universes.
So, Farah, you believe in jinns. You have not seen one, have you? Yourself, personally?
Well, I personally didn't see one. I hope I didn't. Maybe I saw, but I didn't notice. I think that I didn't see yet.
When we discuss jinns, Farah, are we talking about an invisible society where they go and do things just like we do? I mean, is that what we are talking about here?
Again, our belief system states that jinns have their own society, and there are female jinns, there are male jinns, and they get married, and they have children. So all these things is a very important part of our traditional belief system. In fact, as I mentioned in some other interviews and lectures, my family members had other close encounters with that kind of strange beings. And in those times, seeing jinns or having close encounters with them was almost considered as normal. So since I was a little girl, I used to listen to that kind of stories and real life experiences. experiences from my family members, mm-hmm. elder family members. And yes, they say that jinns have their own society, their own family life. But again, jinns have different groups between each other. So, such as different types of jinns, not all of them are the same. And some of them are good-natured, and they really like to help human beings. Sometimes they protect them against dangers. It can be physical dangers, any kinds of dangers. Sometimes they try to give them wisdom. For some reason, there are evidences to believe that jinns are more advanced than human race. They are more intelligent. So that's why if somebody needs wisdom, or if somebody is trying to find out some secret or some truth about an investigation area, jinns can help. But these are the good-natured ones. Also, there are the bad-natured ones, negative ones. So it is just like good extraterrestrials, bad extraterrestrials. And the bad-natured ones are very much interested in to mix their race with human race. So they kidnap human children, they kidnap human babies. And of course, this brings us to the classical alien abductions, right?
Yes, it sounds very similar to the same thing. I mean,
Very similar.
So do you think both of these things are going on, or maybe people are confusing the alien abductions with these encounters with jinns?
Still today, we really don't know 100% everything about alien abductions. So what we know may be only 5% of the reality. So although there have been many research and evidences about alien abduction, but again, we still don't know the real reason behind the alien abduction. And according to some people, extraterrestrials have nothing to do with them. It is a human-made story. And some people say that, yes, it is extraterrestrial.
Farah, if I understand you correctly, these jinns become physical, is that right? And they can actually have sexual encounters with women and make them pregnant?
Oh, yes. Still today, in today's Turkey, in 2008, there are many people who claim that they have jinn spouses. They are married to jinns. Many men claim that they have a jinn wife and they have children with her. And many women claim that they have a jinn husband and they get pregnant from the jinn husband and they give birth to jinn children. Of course, nobody can see those jinn children. Only they can communicate. And they also claim that the children, jinn children, live in another dimension with their jinn families. And the same thing is happening in alien abduction cases. Many abductees claim that they have hybrid babies, hybrid children, many. And they can see the hybrid babies time to time, but normally the hybrid babies live in a spaceship or in an underground facility, but always with the extraterrestrials.
Well, it does seem that there could be a possible connection between the jinns and shapeshifters and demons or whatever from other realities and abductions. Now you're saying there are bad jinns. There are some demons.
Well, yes.
So
one.
What you're really your hypothesis, Farah, is that these jinns are trying to get back to our reality. In other words, they'd like to be in our world. They're in this other world, and they're trying to come over here.
Not that kind, though. Not that.
Is that
kind.
Right?
Yes, but again, they are very much interested in the human race, and they are trying to get something from human race, which they don't have. Maybe it is the soul. Maybe they are interested in the human soul. Maybe they don't have a soul.
In other words, these things are soul snatchers.
Yes. This brings us to the possession cases.
Farah, you're unique in that you've lived in Turkey a long time, and you've also lived here in the West, in the United States. Is there a difference in the legends or the stories about these characters, these djinns?
Very different, because Western world, you forget about djinns and the demonic beings long time ago. And generally, people don't want to talk about these things. And these are considered probably the nonsense. But again, and still today, there are many demonic possession cases in our society, in the Western society as well. So there is a non-physical power which causes the demonic possession. And for classical Turkish traditions, demonic possession and the jinn attack is almost the same thing. In fact, jinns cause the demonic possession, the negative ones, of course, not the positive ones, negative natured ones. They cause the demonic possession. But let's think about this. If this is something universal, if this is something cosmic, it must also be global, right? So why a universal force only affects some specific countries or nations? No. Something is happening in Turkey, but the same cases, the same paranormal, strange, demonic, or possession cases are happening in the United States, in Europe, or in Japan, or in many other parts of the world. Only the different people give them different names, and when you give different names, the same thing, everything changes.
Unfortunately, I guess your book is only available in Turkey right now.
Oh, yes. So far, my newest book is only available in Turkey, in Turkish language. But I'm a hard worker person, don't worry. So I'm working on another English version of the same book.
Oh, great. You're going to do an English version. That'll be wonderful. A UFO Forbidden Zones. I love that title. What else is in the book? I guess a lot of things about UFOs.
New modern UFO cases from Turkey and from the world. And Turkish readers are going to find the recent cases from the United States, such as the Stephenville, Texas case, or the Chicago O'Hare Airport case. And what is the reaction of the public? What is the reaction of the media? The differences? There is a huge difference, of course, between the reactions of the American society, American media, and Turkish society, Turkish media, against that kind of...
You're saying the media in Turkey and other countries are much more open to the idea of UFOs and even what we're discussing today than our media here in the U.S.
Definitely. They are much more open. And why they are much more open? Because unknown, secret, mysteries, paranormal cases are a part of our society. That's why. It is a part of our natural formation, let's say. So we don't surprise against a UFO case. We don't think that it is hard to believe, but we like to know that there is activity in the universe.
Farah, I know you're doing a lot of conferences on the circuit, the lecture circuit, going to be out in Los Angeles, I think, in February. What are the things that you talk about mostly when you give a lecture?
Of course, always, almost in every conference, jinns are a very highly demanded topic. People like to listen information about them.
Ah, we're back to jinns.
This is a symbolic story, yes. It comes from the jinn tradition. And again, maybe they try to talk about an extraterrestrial who comes in a spaceship. Maybe it is a symbolism
so
of
the
this.
The jinns and even UFO subjects are intertwined. I mean... I know a lot of people who believe that these abductions are actually jinns or some sort of interdimensional creature, and they're masking themselves as ETs, science fiction characters, because Americans would identify with that.
And again, in conferences, I'm generally talking about some close encounter cases from Turkey, extraterrestrial human close encounters. And I talk about the underground cities of Turkey, because these areas where the underground cities exist, always there is lots of UFO activity. And the other thing is that, in our very ancient mythology, also history, there is the implication of the reptilians. So, we believe that in that underground city complex, there used to be a reptilian kingdom, a reptilian race. And one of the interesting things is that Saint George, a very important person for Christian religion, he was born in Cappadocia region in Turkey, where the underground cities exist. So, he defeated the dragon and he became a saint. And I'm asking the question, maybe he was trying to defeat a reptilian race. It wasn't a real dragon. Dragon is a symbolism of a reptilian race. And what is a reptilian race? Are they coming from the sky? Yes, some mythological beliefs say that reptilians originally are coming from another planet, maybe from another dimension, but they definitely come from the sky. But for some reason, they live in underground caves. So, this belief, this mythology exists in Turkish society for thousands of years. It is not something new, but Western world started to find new information about a possible reptilian race after 1970s, maybe after 1980s, when some abductees and contactees started to talk about the reptilian extraterrestrials that they saw. But this information is a part of Turkish traditional system. So these are the general topics that I'm talking
about. Where are these underground cities in Turkey? They fascinate me. I assume they're ancient, but yet are built with modern engineering techniques, or maybe even beyond what we could do today. So what about those subterranean cities? Were they built by humans or extraterrestrials or other dimensional people?
Well, it is very clear that they were built by very intelligent and talented people who had a lot of advanced technology. Because in order to carve and build 27 floors under the ground, and hundreds of rooms, they are linked to each other with perfectly made stairs. They are very ancient, and they are in perfect condition, and today underground cities are museums. Every day, thousands of people are visiting them, are climbing up and down the steps, and nothing happens. Whoever made them, they made them for survive thousands of years. And I'm showing also the pictures of underground cities inside of the chambers, rooms. They are huge, big places.
What kind of material, I wonder, do they use down there? Is it stone or?
Yes, it is. They carved the natural rock formations, the natural caves, but they gave them the shape of the rooms. Rooms linked to each other, so it's like a labyrinth.
Yeah, and it would be hard to imagine doing that with ancient tools.
Yes, who knows what kind of a technology they had, but it's very clear that they had the technology. And when you touch the walls of the stones, the rooms, it is perfectly made, soft and very, I mean, it means that very possible to think that they knew what they were doing and they were successful at the same time. The surface of the stones are smooth, so it is surprisingly good. So it is possible to think that a highly technologically advanced race built them.
And we have no evidence of who inhabited these rooms?
Yes, that's the interesting part, because they didn't leave any evidence behind, such as hieroglyphs on the walls or artifacts, nothing. So
no burial grounds under there.
No, there isn't. There isn't. Hmm. And I'm thinking that maybe that race were trying to protect themselves from a nuclear attack, from a danger. So that's why they needed to leave there for a while. Who knows how many years. But it gives us the idea that they were trying to protect themselves from a possible danger.
If you carry that hypothesis forward, Farah, we're talking about maybe there was a very advanced civilization maybe 10, 15,000 years ago, and they had the same fears our modern civilization has of nuclear attacks or whatever.
Yes.
Or maybe a solar flare or something.
Or maybe natural disasters, maybe something related to the atmosphere, and it can be anything.
And you don't really have a hunch, an idea?
Well, no, we can only speculate, because whoever those race preferred to keep everything a secret. They didn't want to be known. They didn't want the future generations know about them. That's the problem. In Turkey, history is very well documented. We know a lot about the other historical aspects of Turkish culture and Turkish nation, and our museums and historical societies are full of evidence and artifacts, especially the archaeological museums. So in fact, we have the best archaeological museums of the world, because we have a lot of history. But that part of the country is a mystery.
We could talk for hours here. You know, you're talking about Turkey. You at one time had planned next spring to do a tour of Turkey, but I guess the economy's probably knocked that
apart.
Well,
I'm still working on the project, so I will let you know and everybody to know.
I think that would be that would be fantastic. You give them a guided tour, maybe some of these underground cities. Would that be on the agenda?
It is one of the most important parts that we will go to see. Because especially for the people who are interested in paranormal, ufology, and unknown, it is a perfect place to visit. And we know that some other people who visited underground cities, they had close encounters with some beings. There are two cases that I mentioned in my lectures. One happened in 1960s. A group of archaeologists who were working in underground cities, they had a close encounter with a tall white being. They described them as tall white beings. Their skin was very pale, they were very tall, and their hair was very, very white. So this was one case. We can consider them as Nordics. In another case, another person was visiting the deep levels of underground cities, and he suddenly had a very close encounter with a dark hooded being. It was wearing a dark cape with a hood. It wasn't possible to see his face, but his eyes was red glowing eyes. So these are very classical types of some interdimensional beings. Many people see them, especially dark faced hooded beings are linked to reptilian race. Our history, our mythology talks about two groups of beings, Nordics and reptilians. Maybe they are still using the underground cities of Turkey as interdimensional door gates.
So it's kind of an interdimensional portal or something.
Yes, interdimensional portal.
Uh-huh.
So probably they even don't need to use metallic fine saucers, because they are interdimensional beings. They have something, they have some knowledge that we don't have. It can be time travel, maybe it's time travel, maybe it is travel between the dimensions, whatever it is, we are still not aware of that, but maybe they still have, they still live the same exact moment of time when they first built the underground cities.
Fascinating, maybe. Fascinating things there. Don't give up on that tour. You ought to be able to get a lot of people to go on one of those things.
Yes.
That's amazing.
As a human being, our perceptions are limited with five senses, which is not the whole thing. Maybe a normal, regular human, when they go there, they cannot see the whole picture. Maybe there is a curtain between us and them.
Somebody's sitting right over there, and I can't see him, or you can't see him.
Yes.
Wow. Farah, what do you got planned here in the next... you making any more speaking engagements, or are you back to running?
More speaking engagements, and more books are coming.
So look for Farah Yudoza coming close to your city. You're doing a lot of traveling, huh?
My next conference will be in Los Angeles.
And when will that be?
Expo. Yes.
And what is the date on that? Do you have it handy?
Oh, February. February 15th, 16th, 17th.
Well, great.
Yes, February.
Okay, well, we'll be talking to you, and we always enjoy working with you, and we've got a few other things going on, too, that the listeners will find out about over the next few weeks. Look for you there in Los Angeles in February, and you need to do some more TV like you did a couple of years ago. I know you're too busy.
Well, you know what? Sometimes television work can be a little bit frustrated. So far, I'm focusing over more books.
Yes.
Because when you write something, it stays forever, and nobody can change your work.
Right. You're in control.
Yes. But television is not the same thing. So we have to be very careful with television shows, and especially reality television. Reality television is not very real, by the way.
It's anything but reality, right? Farah Yudoza, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, and I wish you all the best.
Production assistance by Jane Swartley and James Smith. You are now leaving the Parazone.